scrap bag that I call my mind. What am I doing?
Welcome to Stephanie's Train Travels. Thank you for listening, everybody. This is episode 4.
Thank you for listening. The topic for this week and the stories you're going to share this week are going to be, we're titling it a little silly, it's going to be called name dropping, because you have met celebrities.
I have.
Over the years. So if you could share just a few of those celebrity stories, and you start wherever you feel like.
Okay. I think the most interesting folks that I met were the Jack Daniels family, and they had an interesting story. The matriarch was married. Let me get this story straight. I'm going back in my head trying to remember. Okay, Jack Daniels' brother was married to the lady, the matriarch, who came on the train. Jack Daniels' brother. So this was his wife who came on the train with her children. And what was happening is, I believe it was going to be their 50th anniversary train trip, and unfortunately Jack Daniels' brother had passed away before they were able to do this train trip. So the children of the mom decided to do the train trip anyways. So it was the mom, and it was probably her daughter and two sons, if I remember correctly, and they had a family room. And they were very interesting. The one daughter, what she did for a living, she would go to the football, what are they called when you have the cookouts before tailgate parties.
Yeah, tailgate parties.
Her job was to judge all these contests that you had to cook with Jack Daniels. And so that was her job. I said, man, that's a cool job. I said, do you need any help with that? And so her job was traveling throughout the United States, judging all the tailgate parties, and you're able to cook with Jack Daniels. It was very interesting to meet them. And they actually sent me an invitation to come down to the brewery or distillery, whatever it is, in Tennessee. And they also have a bed and breakfast that they sent me an invitation to go see someday. And it's called Mary Bobo's Bed and Breakfast, and it's in Tennessee. I never did get a chance to go, but they were very interesting to meet the Jack Daniels family. Very nice folks. And we just had a ball, you know. The crew loved them. They were passing out little Jack Daniels bottles to everybody in my car. It was nice. It was very nice to meet them, and it was memorable because they continued to send me stuff, you know, like the brochures about the bed and breakfast and an invitation. And I sent them a Christmas card this year. I haven't heard anything back yet, but hopefully I'll run into them again. The Jack Daniels family. That's my Jack Daniels story.
That's a good story.
Yeah.
Do you remember any other interactions with any other celebrities?
Yes. The most famous person that I met was probably John Travolta. I was working the Empire Builder train, and back then I was in the coaches, working the coach cars, and my friend Dennis Burns, who works the Portland sleeping car, came back to my car. We were at Minneapolis, St. Paul, and it was the dead of winter. It was cold. It was probably January, I think. And Dennis Burns came back to my car, and he said, you're not going to believe who just got on my sleeping car stuff. I said, who? He's like, John Travolta. I said, get out of here. John Travolta's not going to get on the Portland sleeper in the middle of January and come with us. How come his name's not on the manifest? I said, he came back and he said, do you really think John Travolta would use his real name? And I said, are you serious? He's like, he's in my car, and tomorrow I'll take you back and I'll let you meet him. And I couldn't believe it. John Travolta was actually on our train. And he had a deluxe room. He was traveling with another companion, another friend of his. And so Dennis Burns is a really tall man. He's probably 6'5", 6'7", something like that. He was kind of like John Travolta's bodyguard. So the next day he came back and he's like, look, I'm gonna take you back there. You can't tell anybody that John Travolta's on the train. I said, I'm not going to say anything. So he took me back to the room and I met John Travolta. And that was pretty exciting. And by the time the second day of our trip had begun, the word had spread already. And I didn't say anything, but word of mouth gets around very quickly on the train. So John Travolta wanted to come in after hours to eat in the dining car. So basically, you know, Dennis Burns was going to be his escort. Dennis was going to take him from all the way to the back of the train into the dining car. And we kind of had to sneak him in there because people were like, well, what room is he in? We have to meet him. All the women on the train are like, what room is he in? We have to find him. But anyways, he came to the dining car and said hi to the crew and it was very nice and polite. And then, you know, I was trying to keep my cool because you don't want to act like a nerdy fan and stuff. I did pretty well until the end of the trip. I actually had a conversation with him about Barbara Streisand. We were just out in the hallway talking, and I said, you know, I'm a huge Barbara Streisand fan. And he's like, oh, she lives right down the street from me. And I said, I know. I was so excited. I said, when are you and Barbara Streisand going to do a movie together or something? It was so weird to actually ask John Travolta about that. But he's like, you know, we've talked about projects and stuff, but we've never gotten together yet with a project. I said, well, you know, just... if you ever see her, tell her Stephanie said hi. And I was a pretty good fan until like the last day when he was leaving. You know, he had come to say goodbye to everybody and we arrived into Portland. And then he's going down the stairwell and I just became into this weird, I became a stupid, nerdy, super fan weirdo, like a stalker. And he said, bye, Stephanie. I said, bye, John Travolta. I love you. Tell Barbara I said hi. And he just, this weird look came upon him like, oh, God. She turned into one of those weird fans. But it was very exciting meeting him. Uh-huh. And one of our managers came out to the train because he was incognito. So Amtrak, we didn't know. No one knew that he was out there. And word of mouth had spread. And so one of the train managers actually came to pick him up and had offered to drive him to the airport. I think the reason why he took the train is I think he got stuck in Minneapolis because there was a big storm or something, and he couldn't fly out of there. And the only way for him to get out of there was to take the train. And that's why he ended up coming with us. And then one of the managers in Portland actually escorted him to the airport, which I thought was nice. But it was very fun to meet him. I was pretty nervous meeting John Travolta.
So you got to meet him, but you got to meet somebody that has had conversations with Barbara.
Yes, that's even more exciting. And when he said, I live right down the street from her, I said, I know. I know where you live. I know where she lives.
So part of the interesting part of your personality is how big of a Barbara Streisand fan you are. Do you want to do a couple more name drops or say them for later? Or do you want to talk a little bit about when and how and why you're such a huge Barbara Streisand fan?
Ooh, okay, let's see. I don't know how it all came about. I just remember when I was a kid always watching Funny Girl, The Way We Were, and I actually got to go see her in concert. I made my mom kind of crazy that day because I had to critique her what she was going to wear, and we stayed downtown in Chicago. And I remember we were on the third balcony in the first row. And I believe I paid almost $400 for each ticket. My mom thought I was crazy. And I told her, I said, you don't understand. This is Barbara Streisand. This is once in a lifetime. And it was very exciting to see her in concert. And I always like her music. I love her movies. I like how she stands her ground with her politics. I think she's pretty up there with her music too. She's got a great voice and I love her.
Would you be able to keep it together the way that you kept together with John Travolta?
No. I didn't even keep it together with John Travolta. No. I would try, But maybe someday I'll meet her.
Yeah, maybe someday.
Maybe. Maybe she'll take a train to Portland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any celebrities that you might have met that you've seen multiple times? Somebody that's really big into train travel?
Well, just the one gentleman, Richard Gary Canning. Mm-hmm. You know, he travels a lot, but he only traveled with me that one time.
Right.
There's a lady named Veronica Tyler, who's an opera singer, very good opera singer. I've only traveled with her once, but she would take the train every summer after her season in New York, I guess, was done. She would religiously get a certain room, room H, and we had a good trip together. She sent me one of her albums. I met Don Adams. When we used to have the train that went through Las Vegas, Don Adams is the gentleman. You probably don't even know who Don Adams is, do you?
No, because
you're, well, I'm 53, 54. So Don Adams was a gentleman who was the main character in a TV show called Get Smart.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know who Don Adams
is.
I loved Get Smart. I watched Get Smart in reruns.
That's Don Adams.
Grown up,
yeah.
I loved it. Yeah.
He showed up at Vegas. And he came right up to my sleeper. I was working the sleeping car. And he said, "Do you know who I am?" I said, "Oh, God, you're Don Adams." He's like, "Yes, but I don't want anyone to know that I'm on the train." I said, "Oh, okay, yes, sir, Mr. Adams." But he was kind of mean. Sorry, Don. But, he's very private. Didn't want anybody to know he's on the train. He just wanted to stay in his room, wanted his meals in his room. And we took care of that. But he was... it wasn't very interactive, you know, but, you know, that's okay.
Yeah, that's understandable.
So I met him. Yeah, that was exciting. Yeah.
Oh. Cool. So we'll have in the future more of those.
Yes.
It's fun to name drop.
Right.
But at this point of the show, we're going to do a couple of Stephanie's train terms.
Uh-oh. I got to think of something.
Put you on the spot again.
Okay. Yeah, I'm thinking. Let's see.
Is there something like in the dining car, some kind of code? How do they...
Oh,
is
yes.
there a certain time of the day that like, is there like a dinner bell thing? Sorry, what were you going to say?
There is something, I think they do this at restaurants too. When we're out of an item, the chef upstairs will yell 86 special or something like that. Sometimes we have to keep track of how many dinner specials we have. So the waiters and waitresses know that, okay, we're only down to three specials, you know, so they keep a little tally next to here's another thing. When you come to the dining car, you fill out your meal check, and then we put it on a paper clip, and we put it down the chute. So I always thought that was interesting when... to get the meals down.
What's
to.
A chute? Like, is it?
Oh, it's like a little.
Like a banker's chute?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And that's how the waiters and waitresses fill out the check. Basically, if you're in a sleeping car, all your meals are included all the time from the dining car.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to pay for those because it's kind of already included in your train travel. So basically, if you come into the dining car, you'll sit at a table with three other people. And they'll ask you if you're in a sleeper or coach, and then naturally you're going to say sleeper because you'll be with me. And you're going to fill out your name, room number, and car number at the bottom of that check. And then the waiter or waitress will fill out your entrees. And so once the waiter and waitress have taken all four orders, they'll take all those four checks, paperclip them together, and then put them down the chute. And then the chef and the other second cook will fill that order, and then they'll put all four entrees back on a tray, send it up in the elevator, and back it'll go.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
That is very interesting how that works. It's always interesting knowing how these different things work within the confines, because you're moving the whole time.
Right.
You're not constantly refueling. You can't, if you run out of something, you can't run over to the corner store and grab it.
No.
You have to have what you have.
Right.
And because of the limited space, even though it's not like it's tight quarters or anything, but it's still a limited amount of space.
Right.
You know, you have to serve food. You have to move around. You have to, you know, you have to interact. You have all these things that have to get done. So it's...
Right.
It's extremely clever to me, the different systems that they have set up with the elevators and the chutes.
Right.
It's really cool. There's no such thing as like a dinner bell?
No, basically, the dining car steward, okay, like I will leave Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, and I will do my speech to my passengers telling them that the dining car steward will be coming by shortly. The dining car steward, he's the person that's in charge of the diner. He's in charge of the money. He's in charge of the staff. He's in charge of giving all the reservations out. He's in charge of just making sure everything that we need is on the train. That's his dining car. Just like my sleeping car is my responsibility, he is in charge of the diner. And so basically, when you get on the train on Tuesday with me, the dining car steward will come by to my sleeping car. He'll knock on everybody's door, and then he'll give you different times to choose from for dinner. He might start at 5 o'clock. He'll have a 5 o'clock seating, then a 5:30 seating, then a 6:30 seating, then a 7:30 seating. He has at least 4 or 5 seatings. And then sometimes they also do a wait list situation also when we're really, really busy. Basically, when he comes to the sleeping car, he's going to give you a sheet of paper, and that is your reservation slip. It'll say 5 o'clock or 6:30, whichever time you pick. And basically, he will make an announcement over the PA system saying, ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we're calling in all 5 o'clock dinner reservations. And that's how you know that your dinner time is being called. Sometimes they might have to wait a couple minutes, sometimes because you pace the reservations so people were able to go in there and enjoy a nice leisurely meal. And then after those folks leave, then you get the other folks in. So you're constantly turning over tables. To work in the dining car is very, very hard. You have a lot of personalities meshing. You have the passengers, you know, that you're trying to accommodate and seat and make sure everybody has a nice relaxing dinner. Yeah, I would never work in the diner. I like working in my little sleeper. I always wanted to be a sleeping car attendant. I didn't want to be a conductor, didn't want to be an engineer. A lot of people start off just being like a coach attendant, and then once you get some seniority, you might bid on a different job or go to a different craft. But I always just like the sleeping car. It's very personable. You're there with the people for 3 days. I have 22 rooms that I take care of. I have a good time out there. I decorate my car with my little library sign, and I might bring a little cup of candy for the passengers, put it by the coffee pot. And then I have laminated stuff that I put up. I have my laminated menu that I put up so people know what's in the dining car. I have a little piece of paper that I write down all the smokes/fresh air stops so the passengers know that you're able to step off the train at this station stop. It's fun. I enjoy it a lot.
That's good. Yep. That's good. It's good to know the routines
and
what you do. So that's it for this episode.
I'm leaving Tuesday. I leave this Tuesday. Come on out and see me on the Empire Builder, the Portland Sleeper. Thank you. Grab bag that I call my mind. What am I doing alone on the shelf? Ain't it a shame, but no one's to blame but myself. Which way is clear when you've lost your way? Trick of it, know what I am, I'm good and sick.
myself there.